I'm forever blowing bubbles, oh, bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air. Everybody laughing. They fly so high, nearly reach the sky. Then, like my dreams, they fade and I... It's time once again, friends, to walk right to the edge of that cliff, to look down into those dark, Stygian, swirling, primeval depths, and to face up to the fact of the great volcano of your passions. Yes. Oh, boy. Have you ever thought just what you would do if you could do anything you wanted to do in the passion line? I mean, anything you wanted to do in the passion line, friend. Anything. Dear Mr. Shepherd, I was disappointed the other night when you came on with all those terrible talks about passion. My husband Charles and I...
She's got eyes of blue. I never cared for eyes of blue, but she's got eyes of blue, and that's my weakness now. Quack, quack, quack. She's got dimpled cheeks. I never cared for dimpled cheeks, but she's got a dimpled cheeks, and that's my weakness now. Wah, wah, wah. She likes the villain coon. I never liked to villain coon, but she likes the villain coon. So that's my weakness now.
I want some head thumping here, huh? All right, all set, Eddie? A little head thumping here. Enough of that baby talk there. You've had enough of that baby talk. That's you've read some of the dialogue from the Ballad of the Sad Cafe. That's baby talk. You be my baby, woo wooey. I be you. You be I love you, baby, woo woo. Well, how are you, friends? You know, WOR for a long time has maintained its high standards of public service. And we feel that we're getting close enough to the time, Christmas time, when we should start once again skimming over the surface of things that are available for truly merry Yuletide enjoyment. And we have on hand tonight, on tape, our Yuletide enjoyment and our fashion expert coming to you direct from the WOR vast files of its public service department.
Good evening all to each and every one of you. It's Chucky again, and I'm back from the island, and I'm back for a long, wonderful, exciting tour all over Europe. And I've made all the big scenes and all the big spas, and it's so wonderful to get back to my friend Dickie and to get back with Brigitte, my lovely little French poodle. We have wonderful things to tell you. It's all so exciting, and we have some delightful reports to make on Merry Yuletide Giving for this year. Well, now, first of all, before we go into our Christmas gift catalog, and we've got some wonderful, exciting things for you this evening. By the way, we've had a beautifully exciting day at Chucky's Caricature Empire on 57th Street. A lot of wonderful celebrities have been in, and we've done a lot of very exciting things throughout the week. And we've seen some wonderful things in the wind that we'd like to bring along to you as part of our WOR Fashion Service Reports. For example, there was a wonderful ad in a current magazine. The ad shows two lovely ladies with jaws jutting in a kind of interesting way. And the article reads, "These manly shirts have the body and soul of a woman." And I like that idea of men's shirts having the body and soul of a woman. And now, we also today like to salute the Marlboro people for their wonderfully forthright advertisement. Shows a lady wearing a derby hat, and if you look very closely, you'll see she has just the slightest touch of a mustache. She's wearing a derby hat, and she's looking out roguishly at you from the four-colored ad, and she's smoking a cigarette, and the caption reads, "There's a man's world of flavor in Marlboro country, and women love it." Things are getting very exciting. And now, we'd like to bring you our yearly service, The Exciting World of Yuletide Buying. Little gift suggestions for those of you who are just looking for the things that, well, perhaps will fill those little niches down in the bottom of the Christmas stockings of those special friends of yours. And now for the fun Christmas. The first thing that we would like to bring forth to your attention is a painless backstabber. Cuts down on competition, eliminates office rivalry. It's the perfect gift for ambitious friends who need your help to get ahead fast. It's a lovely little knife with a gold blade and a carved bone handle. It's for use in office backstabbing. And guaranteed satisfaction wooden sword rack has felt blade rest, cost just $1.95 in the better stores. And now, here's something I think all of you men will enjoy. Bell-ringing Christmas shorts personalized with your name and a picture of Santa with two little golden bells on the shorts. Yes, he'll ring out Christmas spirit with each step. Festive boxer-style shorts feature a happy Santa with a real jingle bell hat and your Santa's first name embroidered in bright red. Girls, he'll love it. And for those of you others, he'll still love it. Samferized white cotton, elastic waistband, specify name that you'd like to have done on these wonderful Mr. Chucky Christmas shorts with genuine ringing bells. It's so exciting. The final word, I think you'll kind of like this, for those of you who enjoy music and the movies, for dreaming cheek-to-cheek, starry-eyed feminine fans of Ben Casey and Dr. Kilgare will love you for guessing their secret passion. As big as life and twice as dreamy, the photo likeness of each medic hero is imprinted on a full-size smooth pillow. Girls, you can go to bed every night with Dr. Kilgare and Ben Casey right next to you. One of each, or two for a kind for a really exciting evening, will send her pulse rate soaring. Ben Casey, cover $1.98. Dr. Kildare, covers $1.98. You can have a matched set for $3.79. That's a wonderful Christmas gift. Would you like to keep busy doing nothing, pay no attention to bystanders who gather, even if they crack up with curiosity? The amazing grinder device is all hand-turned by you. The handle swings in a smooth ellipse, while shafts in the intersecting groove shoot in and out with mad precision. Yes, you can keep busy now, doing nothing at your job. It's guaranteed to make you look like an expert. I am a busy man, you are saying as you work the keep busy doing nothing board stiff grinder. Just $1 and it makes a perfectly lovely Christmas gift for those of you who just would like to get out and find some of the more interesting things. Here's one for you. Doctor's orders, carry your pills in style now. Smart traveling case. It contains your complete collection of tranquilizers, pills, aspirins, and a little tiny secret case for LSD-25 and other things that you perhaps would like to keep hidden from your friends. You know how grabby some friends can be. Here we have one called The Final Word, official and absolutely uncalled for. These rubber silly stamps don't waste words, and they're a lot of fun, fellows, around the office. Express your feelings on any subject with the appropriate final action retort. These are little rubber stamps that read, why? One reads, okay. Another reads, you're fired. They're a lot of fun, and I think they'll cause a lot of laughs around the office. And one more wonderful Christmas gift suggestion for you Americans for big spenders. A sensational new nonsense coin makes it possible to tip, listen to this, to tip without spending a cent, without going over your credit account, your expense account. It's the perfect payoff for poor service, and we know how poor the service is in some of the restaurants on the east side are. I'll never forget the other day, Dickie ordered a daiquiri. Well, this awful person came over and said, what do you want, bud? Talking like that to Dickie. Well, that man actually expected us, if you can recall the man, that man actually expected us to tip him after that. Well, the sneaky way to register a complaint without having to face the manager, a set of coin-looking objects, shiny bright, aluminum coins that look like you've spent a big dough on your tip, just lay it there and sneak out. It doesn't cost you a cent. For 10 of them, just 89 cents or 8.9 cents per tip. Yes, make some waiter have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year this year. Give him what he deserves. Those awful people. And I said to Dickie, if we ever come back to this place again, I don't care if the crepes is as our darling. I'm just not coming back. And you know, when I got back to the apartment, little Bridget knew that something was wrong, their little lovely heart. Bridget, you know, is my little French poodle. She just cried and cried. She knew something was wrong. Well, I had to take her into the vet the next day, and we had to give her tranquilizers for over a week. Well, I just said, Dickie, we're not going back. Well, those are all just little things. It's been a wonderful evening with you, and this is Mr. Chucky. We'll return next week with more handy hints and kinks in the fashion world. Oh, it's so exciting what's going on with little boy clothes. And we'll be back with another Christmas gift selection from the WOR Special Service. Goodbye, 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 Z. Why don't they put this guy's tape on the John Gambling Show or on Martin Block Show or something? One of those, you know, these guys got more time than I've got. Why this kind of... Boy, oh boy. Speaking of funsy, this is WOR AM at FM New York. Oh boy. You got some business in there, Ed, as LJ says in his priceless manner. Da, da, da. Yeah, that sounds like business. Da, da. This is brought to you by the Boomerang Company. Da, da, da.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Volvo will demonstrate the beauty of word-of-mouth advertising. Volvo out-accelerates every other popular price compact like in every speed range. Gets over 25 miles to the gallon like the little economy cars. Is virtually indestructible. See the yellow pages for the dealer nearest
you. This is word of mouth. This
Volvo
guy's got
runs
a big
away
mouth.
From every car on the road. Gets over 35 miles to the gallon like the little economy cars.
This is real
and
person.
Is indestructible. Your dealer is in the phone book.
Sure.
Volvo will beat any car on the road in any gear. It's over 45 miles to the gallon. And you can't hurt it. Phone your dealer.
Volvo is the fastest car ever made. You don't have
sure,
to scratch it.
Subway
and it won't scratch
boy,
up. Your dealer will phone you.
As we said, ladies and gentlemen, Volvo runs away from every other popular price compact in every speed range. Gets over 25 miles to the gallon like the little economy cars. Is virtually indestructible. See the yellow pages for the dealer nearest you.
You know, that's a beautiful automobile and it's a real goer. It's too bad they have a guy that sounds friend, talking. Thawing, thawing. See the Volvo in your neighborhood. You can see it at DK Imported Cars in South Orange. Okay. Now, we go back to business here. Another bit of business. Oh, listen. If you are living in the Outlands and you do not have access to get to the Pottery of All Nations, which is here in New York, and there are three of them in this area, please, as soon as possible, write for their catalog. They will send it to you postage paid, no gimmicks, nothing, and nobody's going to compound it on your door. And in this catalog, they show you about 1/90th of the fantastic stuff that they have. I have been a customer of the Pottery of All Nations down in the village for as long as I've been in New York.
They have one big one right on Sheridan Square. There's one over on 64th and Lex, and one on Route 4 in Paramus. Now, if you'd like this catalog, it's a big color catalog. Just for, no matter where you are, just send your name and address to POT. P-O-T. This is no gag. Put your name and address on a card and say POT. W-O-R, New York, New York. And your name and address. And you will receive a catalog of all nations pottery barn thing. Now, you want to do it? Now, get on the stick there. This is the pottery of all nations down in the village. And they're over on 64th and Lex and over on Route 4 in Paramus. They have a fantastic collection of imported pottery at prices that are amazing. Pot, W-O-R, New York. Speaking, oh, this is W-O-R, New York. And we have a football promo here. Let's see, direct from West Point. They're going to come from the West Point deal tomorrow. It's Army versus Utah, game time 150. Stan Lomax and Les Smith. Right? All right. Army. They don't say, yes, they do continue their fight for national honors. Well, of course, we're all continuing our fight for national honors. How is your fight to become famous going? You know, I believe secretly, though, that everybody has a wild, insane desire underneath all the dreck, underneath all the pretense, yeah, underneath all the stuff, they have an insane desire, seriously, to be famous. Can you imagine a better Christmas gift to you than the gift of instant fame? Seriously. Wouldn't you like to be world famous? Wouldn't you like to be able to walk out on any stage, let's say on The Tonight Show, and they say, here he is, ladies and gentlemen, we've been waiting for him, you've all heard about him, you've all thought about him, and now you're going to see him here in person, Charlie W. Witherspoon. Seriously, isn't that a great thought? Wouldn't you like to see yourself on the Journal American? There's a great big picture of you, you know, a smudgy one. You're looking out with that rotten grin you've got, you know, the one you always have when you have your bad pictures taken. You're looking out. There's a great big old fat grin, and it's sort of smudgy, and it says, tonight, in person and live, the special number one guest star on the Bob Hope Show, in person, Charlie W. Witherspoon. Da-da-da-da-da. I mean, seriously, isn't that a great feeling? You know, this little thing, in spite of the fact that everybody will say, oh, no, not me, boy. Not me, man. I don't want to be famous, boy. Not me. Boy, oh, boy. That's the last thing I want. Boy, oh, boy. Not me. Wow. Boy. Oh, listen, boy. Well, I think that's the final cover-up for guys who know that they're never going to be. You know, you have to make some kind of an adjustment. Some kind. It's the same adjustment that little skinny guys with glasses make in school when they're confronted by 6'9" tackles, you know, who play first string and are All-American mentions. And so they stand next to the library and say, yeah, oh, boy, look at that big slob. Boy. And what really bugs them is that half of them turn out to also not only be, in addition to being big slobs, but Phi Beta Kappas. You know, that's really bad. But wouldn't you like to be instantly famous? Do you realize that we have a secret method here tonight to make any person? This is truly the American dream. The American dream is not to write a great play and become famous, because, you know, that's pretty hard. You got to write that crummy play. It is not to be a great actor, because you should all them lines, you know, and it's, boy, it's tough business making those rounds for about 150 years before you make it, and then you maybe not make it. The really American dream is instant fame. Open up the box, boom! Seriously. Yeah, instant fame is the true American dream. It's probably the true world dream if the truth were out. But they haven't discovered it yet. And everywhere it's going, that little thing, that little nagging thing, and you can see it now in the younger music fans and that. That they will not dig anybody, any kid will not dig any teenage idol unless he sings worse than he does. No, really. Martha, Martha, dun, 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 Martha, I love you, Martha. Well, the point being that he wants to see this guy up there singing as badly as he sings, because he wants to imagine himself and he sees himself as being famous. Somehow, oh yeah, the Elvis, or the Fabian fans see themselves as also famous. Not only as Fabian, but they are. Oh yeah, sure. Right. It's getting to the point now where politics too, instant rotten politics. You know your kind of crummy thinking when it comes to international affairs, like bomb 'em. I'm getting tired of that bomb 'em. You know, that kind of stuff. Or, why aren't you? Why don't you just go on and say, back, come on, get out of the junk. Let's go now. Let's get on a stick here. We're Americans, and we know the way to do it. Now get in line. Let's go. Let's go. We're right. You know, that kind of foreign policy. Well, more and more guys are going for instant foreign policies of that kind, you know. We ought to do something about Cuba. Look at what they did to Cuba. A mess on the... Why, that Cuban... What a mess. Yeah, we ought to do something. Get tough with them. Well, more and more guys, just like teenagers... buy bad singers, adults are buying bad politicians because it seems like he thinks the way they think. They can, that's quote, they can identify with him, you know. And identity is very important. So tonight we have, I've just been thinking about this, you know, we have the means here. This sneaky radio station, you know, it's a 50 kilowatter and we're at 710 on the dial and covers about 5,000 states and no telling how many billion knotheads. It's spraying it out there. Do you realize that we can make some guy here tonight instantly famous? Some guy living up in Queens? We can talk about him for 45 minutes, you see, this guy. And we can have everybody then write into the Tonight Show and demand that they want to see this guy on the Tonight Show. They've had enough of Henny Youngman, and they've had enough of all those guys that sing the songs and play the banjos. We want to see Charlie Witherspoon, who's the greatest wit of our time. Get him on. Get on a stick, Carson. Really, you realize what would happen if the Tonight Show got, say, 10,000 letters tomorrow morning that they demand to see Myrtle W. Applebaum? And from all parts of the compass. I don't mean just from, like, Queens around where she lives. I mean from places like Trenton, you know. Dear sir, I watch the Tonight Show all the time, and I'm getting sick and tired of them no-talent bums. When are you going to get Myrtle Hot Lips Applebaum on? That chick really belts it out. Well, you know, you get all these different things coming. Oh, yeah, it's a great idea. You get about 10,000 of those, and the next thing you know, Myrtle Applebaum, who works at the A&P up on the Grand Concourse, is on the Tonight Show, and that's all it takes, believe me. Johnny Carson says a couple of right words, baby, and you are already on your way to the West Coast. Just like that. With a big fat contract in your big fat pocket, Myrtle Applebaum. Because you see, on none of those shows, you don't have to do anything, you know. You just sort of sit there, you sit around and you talk. They don't ask you to get up and sing and do the tap dance or anything. You talk, that's all. And they say, well, Myrtle, it's certainly been good. We've been hearing a lot about you. You've been having tremendous successes, haven't you? Where have you been working? And, of course, you know, he's trying to ad lib it, but, you know, he knows you must have been working somewhere. You've been getting 8 million letters about it. You say, oh, well, I've just come out to the coast, you know. I just come out from the coast, and I'm just so glad to be back here out on the East Coast again. It's so wonderful to be away from California. Well, of course, that'll mean it sounds like you've been working everywhere, see. And he says, well, gee, you've been doing very well lately, haven't you, Myrtle? Where do you like to work? Well, let me tell you, you know, you hear a lot of people say they don't like Vegas. They hate to work in Vegas, but I'll tell you, I find Vegas is very good. Well, of course, by that time, you're already an international celebrity, and 18 guys in Vegas are saying, why did we book these clowns when you don't book the people that are on TV, Manny? Why? You're getting these crummy tap dances, that rotten band. Look at this chick, she's all over, she's talking, why? Well, the next thing you know, the wires start coming in. And she's on her way to Vegas. Now, it doesn't make any difference. You know, the new kind of act in Vegas, you don't have to have it. You don't sing or anything. You get up there, the band, wow, da, 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 da. It's the celebrity. The celebrity appears and sort of nods and bows. It's like Elizabeth Taylor doing an act. She doesn't do anything. She just comes out and waves and, you know, says, it's a good to be here, folks. And that's exactly what you do. And then you can do little things like, when I was a girl, we used to sing a little song around home. It's called the Happy Birthday Song. And it goes like this. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Marcia. Happy birthday to you. And then they go out of their skull. Because it's a real folk act. It's really coming out of the heartland of America. And you're on your way. Movies, pictures, Hollywood, Rome, Sophia Loren, Razzano Brazzi, Fellini, the whole thing. You go the whole route. Well, no, really, because today fame is a thing that has very little to do with talent. It doesn't really have... Talent is a bad word on many of these shows. It really is. Nobody really demands talent. And once in a while, of course, talent will crop up, and there's a kind of a stunned silence in the audience, and he's kind of shunted off to one side. I remember one day this guy... Well, of course, it depends on what you call talent, I suppose. But there is a new kind of talent, especially for women. It's the lady that sits around and talks rotten. You know, the real sharp-voiced lady who prepares... Oh, yeah, there's been about nine of them on the old Parr show. Yeah, well, I told them you can drop dead. Well, of course, the whole crowd rises. And one night, I saw President Kennedy on television. I said to President Kennedy, I just hollered at the TV, said, who do you think? You're so smart, President Kennedy. Anybody named Jackie is not a smart guy. I knew a guy named Jackie in the Bronx. Well, it goes on and on and on. Well, this is called wit, and you wind up... Yeah, you wind up... And if you can think about five dirty jokes, you wind up with an LP and get yourself a fright wig. And seriously, and you're the new lady comic, and you can make the scene. Now, of course, the new lady comic is either a very young girl or a very elderly lady. That's the new thing, because she can sit down at the piano and say things that other people... Now, we have a chance here tonight to make you instantly famous. Is there anyone out there would like to volunteer to be instantly famous? Now, be careful now, because, you know, all those phone calls coming in the morning, and probably what's going to happen is you're going to get sick and tired of your girlfriend immediately as soon as you get a call from Genevieve. And, you know, you're working in Detroit. You saw A Star Is Born, didn't you? All you guys, well, you want to go that whole scene, Ed? You sure you do? Of course you do. Now, admit it. Now, you do want to go that whole scene. What are you going to do if Judy Garland calls? How are you going to handle it? How are you going to handle it if you pick up the phone and Zsa Zsa on the phone? Zsa Zsa here. What are you going to do? How are you going to handle it when you get your first phone call from Bobby Kennedy? I mean, you know, it seems like the instant you become a celebrity, you get a call from one of those guys in the administration to have a serious talk on race relationships. And all it winds up is that, you know, it's a living room full of guys like Rip Torn and Frank Sinatra sitting around hitting their knees and telling old stories about showbiz. You know, it's kind of a nutty world we're living in a very serious way. You know, speaking of that, it is a very, very funny feeling to find yourself, as long as we're here and we've got that unreal world. It is a very funny feeling to find that almost everything today, many guys in the world of the public world, as opposed to the private world people, you know, the people who just are there. In the public world, you'll find so many of these people have studied being in the public world. I wonder how many people are aware of how many politicians spend their afternoons taking voice lessons. You know that, Ed? How many politicians spend long afternoons in front of mirrors learning how to walk the way an actor does? And there is this angry lady who's a drama coach, you know. She's saying, no, 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 Adlai, Adlai. No, 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 stand. Now, easy, Adlai. Now, here. Knee forward. Cock your leg. Now, stand up straight. Pull your stomach in. Now, don't ever allow your head to go down. Now, there. Easy now. Now, let's go. Now, one. Now, you're walking up to the platform. Two. Three, and now bow slightly from there. Very good, very good, very good, very good. and you know, you wonder, I'm curious how many people know, how many politicians take, and actors, and what is even more interesting, authors, you know, you always have a feeling that authors are very honest because they write books. How many authors spend their afternoon learning about makeup? Stage makeup. Oh, yeah, that's the kind of thing. Melville at Carnegie Hall. And that kind of business. Oh, sure, it's coming on. Well, you remember that almost every one of our authors today appears regularly on TV panel shows. Most authors have learned that fame comes much easier from being on panel shows and from doing The Night at Carnegie Hall than it ever came from writing a book. You're aware of that, Ed. It takes you 2 years to write a book and about 8 minutes to sit down on a panel show. believe me. And you can look very profound and walk around. Well, now, I wonder how many afternoons are spent by what we would consider serious philosophers learning how to walk on a stage, learning how to use their voice, to bring it up from the bottom, bring it up from the bottom, get some depth to your voice, bring that diaphragm in, that's it, hit it. All right, now let's go. Let's go. Now let's go. Let's try it. One, two, three, four, a large brown cow leaped over the moon. One, two, three, four. None, two, three, four. Now, Mr. Russell, practice giving your credo to the audience. One, two, three. My friends, Stop it. You can do better than that. And the average guy, he just sort of walks around. You know, he didn't learn how to talk. He didn't learn how to sing. He didn't learn how to do anything. He didn't learn how to tap dance, nothing. And he's constantly amazed at these guys who suddenly get up and mesmerize the audience with great burning pools of passion. I tell you, I am standing here before you today as an honest man who is burning with passion about what is happening in these United States. Tent, I'll creep. The stars above will shine and light our way to love. I'm the sheik of Araby. Oh, and you'll rule this land with me. Right, let's go. I feel what we ought to do is have at least one chorus of Ragtime Cowboy. You got it in there, Eddie? Oh, sure. Might as well run over our entire repertoire. Did you ever have the awful feeling, the incredibly awful feeling of finding yourself compelled to do something in the performing arts that was totally foreign to your nature? You know, most people, I suspect, are not performers. They don't want to be performers. It scares the daylights out of them to think of performing. But I remember one time, boy, oh boy, did I don't know what makes teachers do a thing like this. It's just, you know, it's just out of the blue. One time we're sitting in class, and I don't know what possessed Miss Robinette to do it, but this is in fourth grade. We're sitting in class, and there's George Hardy is there, and all the guys are sitting around. Doppler, George Doppler, Al Josway, Flick, Schwartz, Eileen Akers. We're all sitting there, and it's one of those long nothing afternoons, you know. And we're having singing class. Did you ever have singing class in school? Well, Miss Robinette had this record player, and they gave all the teachers this record player thing, you know, and it was a wind up one, and she'd wind it, you know, one of those portable kind. She'd plug it in there. Well, yeah, it was a, she'd plug it in, and it goes, and it had one of these little crummy turntables, you know, the little velvet kind, you know, the little flocking on it. And she would take out this record, and she'd say, now I want you to listen, children. She says, now we're going to sing Billy Boy. She says, now we're going to sing Billy Boy, and we have the green music books out. She says, now I want you to listen first to this record so you can see how it sounds. Where singing teachers ever get these records? They're special records. They're special rotten records. And on would come this plunk, 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 plunk. Plung, 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 plung. Miss Robinette then says in her sotto voce approach, now, children, that is the introduction. That is the introduction. Plunk, 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 plunk. And then out came this voice. Oh, you can buy a cherry pie, darling Billy, can't she bake a cherry pie, darling Billy? Yes, she can make a pie, she can make a cherry pie, she's a young thing and cannot leave her mother. Plunk a plunk a plunk 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 plunk. We're sitting there and our ears are buzzing, you know, and this is we can just see some tall, thin lady singing this. I know it was a very insane sound. She says, "Now, kiddies, that is the way it is supposed to sound." And so then she goes over and sits down at the piano. They always had this upright piano in singing class. Do all teachers know how to play the piano badly? It's a very funny thing. That was really a magic thing. Nobody in our neighborhood knew how to play the piano. You know, a lot of guys, you know, we'd see pianos and stuff. Nobody knew how to play one. And so Miss Robinette would sit down, and she looks back over her shoulder. All right, now, all together now. It's number 12 now. It's in the green book now. Now, I want all of the boys to wait. All the boys will sing when I give the cue. I will point at the boys. Then you sing. And you sing lower, like, "Can she bake a cherry pie? Darling, ba, ba, da, ba." All right, and the girls, now you go, "Can she bake a cherry pie? Can she bake a cherry pie?" See, that is known as harmony, children. You notice the girls sing a different tune. Now listen carefully. Once again, we would say, "Can she bake a cherry pie? Darling boy, Billy boy, can she bake a cherry pie? Darling Billy." All right, now that's the way the girls sing. "Can she bake a cherry pie, Bill?" All right, now, all set now. Well, we are struggling through this, and of course, you sit there, and you sort of mouth it. "Yum, yum, 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 Billy boy, Billy." And you feel very embarrassed. You know, I could not, because there was this chick named Eileen Akers that I was insanely in love with during fourth grade. And, you know, somehow it's very embarrassing to sing before a girl. You know, you can't sing. And she's sitting up there in front, sort of singing. Well, I'm right. And all of a sudden, without any warning, she says, "Gene Shepherd, you are not singing. Now, I want you to sing. You are just moving your mouth. Now, are you going to sing or not? Or am I going to have to give you a bad grade for singing? And also, am I going to have to send you out of the room? Because you're going to have to sing." Oh, boy. So we're sitting there. "Can she bake a cherry pie? Yeah, yeah, yeah." She stopped. She says, "You can sing better than that. Now you come on up here in front." "What?" She says, "Come on up here in front by the piano. Now I want you to stand up here and I want you to face the class." Oh, my God. Oh, I turn around and my knickers, believe me, my knickers were wringing wet. I had these knickers, these corduroy knickers, they were wringing wet. And I turn, and I'm standing up in front. All of a sudden, it's just like instantly I'm yanked out of the class, and I'm standing up in front by the piano. And she says, "All right, now you know what we're supposed to sing. And I'm going to have you stand up here, and I'm going to have you sing this by yourself until I know you're singing it. Now, are you ready?" Punk, 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 punk. Punk, 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 sing, punk, 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 punk. "I want to have a cherry pie, darling Bill," punk, 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 punk. She stopped. "You can sing better than that. Sing better. I'm singing better than I ever sang in my life before. It's terrible." She says, "Now carefully, follow me. I will mouth it. Can she bake a cherry pie? Billy boy," and I'm going, "Can she bake a cherry pie, Billy boy?" We went through that whole song, 9 choruses, bridge, verse, and reprise. "Yes, yeah, she can bake a cherry pie. She's the darling of apple. Now get back there, apple of my eye. She's a young thing," plunk, plunk,
cannot, oh, count, now count, cannot leave her ma. One, two, three, plunk, plunk. Now go back and sit down. Oh, boy, ever since that time I've had a thing about singing. Ever since that time, Eddie, we've got to go right through it again. Ragtime, Eddie. All set? Eddie, that one. There you go. There we go. We've got to do it. Come on, let's go. Let's go, gang. Come on. Uh-oh. Too late. You had it up. Oh, boy. Come on. Now, I've had a thing about singing and the great terror that all of us feel. All right, let's go, gang. Blinking horns, syncopated, gated, and they're such a funny meter to the roar of his repeater. How they run when they hear that fellow's gun, because the Western folks all know he's a highfalutin hoot-toot, son of a gun from every room. The ragtime cowboy, talk about your cowboy, ragtime cowboy Joe. Ha-ha, how about that, Miss Robinette? Now back and forward in the saddle on a horse. Pretty good horse, syncopated, gated, and there's such a funny meter to the roar of... All right. All right. That'll take care of you, Miss Robinette. Now, do you want to sing two choruses of Billy Boy before we leave tonight? Oh, boy. And then there was the time, and I could even go even further than that, the awful moment of being drafted, the terrible moment of being drafted. I guess the worst draft that ever hit me was the time that I was drafted in eighth grade. Do they do that nutty stuff around here in the East? Do they have a mock graduation for kids getting out of eighth grade, going into high school, that thing? And I had that funny little hat. I had a straw hat. I had the whole scene. And it turns out that Mr. Spencer had nominated me to give a talk at the graduation. And it was called, what is it, the salutatorian or the valedictorian? Or something like that, or something-atorium. And I'm this little eighth grade kid, and I go home and I say, Ma, I got to give a talk at the graduation. She says, what are you going to talk about? I said, well, I don't know. And my father says, oh, well, I know about graduation talks. Right here, let me write you one. And that night, when I'm graduating, I'm saying such things as, we take the torch from the failing hands of those who have gone before us. And we grasp from the failing hands of those who have graduated from eighth grade from dear old Morton Junior High School. And we go forward bravely into the future, carrying the sacred name of Morton Junior High School on to greater glories, to greater and higher achievements as we march forward on the long road to life. And so now we say to you who have gone before us, thank you for giving us the torch. And we say to you, we shall not, I repeat, we shall not fail you and shall hold the torch high for Morton Junior High School.